Stopwatch after this.
A UK life coaching group destroying lives.
It was like he would collect your secrets.
At that point, I was scared for my safety.
The total I invested was £131,000.
Controlling people.
It was more about apportioning blame to my parents.
These toxic groups called families.
Intimidating critics.
When I've asked questions.
They said, if you leave and you turn against us, we have all those personal recordings of yours.
A very British cult. With me, Katrin Nye.
We'll come for you next.
Starting this Wednesday morning at 11:30 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now on BBC Radio 4, they're back and every second counts.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, Sue Perkins here. As the Minute Waltz fades away, what a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute. Of course, I'd like to begin by introducing you to the four marvellous, talented people who are going to be playing this week. They are Paul Merson, Lucy Porter, Jennifer Saunders and Julian Clary. Please whoop and cheer and generally go cray-cray for all four of them. I don't plan on mixing up a tried and tested format, so I'm simply going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation. So we shall see how that goes. Paul, we're going to start with you. The subject here on the card is Bigfoot. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on Bigfoot? Starting now.
I very much doubt it, but I'll start it anyway. Bigfoot is a really kind of character who was created by people back in the 1930s, not really a real creature in any shape or form.
Julian.
Repetition of really.
Really and real, I thought.
Oh.
I thought...
I thought you said really twice, but I stand corrected.
There was a stumble, which
there
I think...
There was certainly a
there
stumble.
There was certainly a stumble, so yeah. I'm minded to give you the challenge because I thought it was a hesitation. And I heard real...
But he hasn't challenged for hesitation.
Do you want a challenge for hesitation?
It's hesitation.
Do you know what? Jennifer just poached in there. She gets it.
I didn't even want it.
Yes. But sometimes that's where comedy comes from. So you've got a fulsome 50 seconds, my lovely, to tell us all about Bigfoot. And your time starts now.
Bigfoot. I think we used to call Bigfoot the Yeti, the hairy man of the mountains or the woods, who was found by footprints. Thank you.
Paul, you challenged.
Well, it was hesitation, but also the Yeti and Bigfoot are two different things.
Are they?
They're two fictional creatures. One's a fictional creature from Tibet, the other one's a fictional
creature. Save it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She's absolutely right. You've got 38 seconds. You might want to keep that in your pocket. 38 seconds. Bigfoot starting now.
Bigfoot is a fictional creature. It basically beats the ability to...
Julian.
That was hesitation.
That was genuine
stumbling.
Tibetan.
Yeah, you went deep into Tibetan, but unfortunately, even in Tibetan, you hesitated. All right, Julian, 34 seconds, your time starts now.
I first met Bigfoot when I was on holiday in Canada, and I refute the very idea that he is a fictional character. Very real to me, and those great big feet clumping around. A hairy face, not unattractive, and quite frankly, it was no time to be picky. You're the man
Jennifer.
Of my dream.
Slight hesitation.
I think there was a little bit of comic, you know,
oh, yes.
A little bit
all
of,
right.
You know, the
I'll
audience. I'm going to give a little bit of give there.
All right. I don't
a little
want
bit
the
of give. But, you know, I will be giving you the benefit of the doubt later, which,
okay.
As I said, that sounded like a threat. It wasn't meant to sound. You keep the subject. Bigfoot, 16 seconds starting now.
Second time I met Bigfoot was in Nepal. I said, I can't believe you're here. Every time I go on holiday, there you are. It's almost as if you're stalking.
You see?
Oh, no, holiday.
Repetition of holiday. Oh, yes, you're
no.
On a holiday in Canada.
Oh. That feels really wrong, and yeah. I would have liked to hear more about that holiday.
I know. Well, two holidays in the time of a cost of living crisis is wrong, Lucy.
Particularly with a fictional creature.
Yeah. A good run, but Lucy has correctly buzzed in with 7 seconds remaining. You can talk about Bigfoot in that time starting now.
Bigfoot, also known as Sasquatch, I believe, by cryptozoologists, which is a branch of science that's utterly made up, like...
Lucy speaking as the whistle went means that she gets the point. Well done, you. And you also start our next subject, drafts. Oh. You have 60 seconds starting now.
Drafts is chess for people who don't like kings, queens, or tiny horses. It's quite a simple game, unlike chess, which is...
Yes, Paul?
A repetition of chess.
Yes, it was indeed a repetition of chess. You spoke for 10 seconds. Paul gets it with 50 to go. Drafts is your subject, Paul, starting now.
Well, they're big, tall creatures. They live in Africa and they eat acacia trees off the back of the tree. And they're orange and they've got big, long legs and they can... What? What's happened there?
You've had your fun. It was deviation.
The number of times you've said that.
I'm going to give Paul a point because I really enjoyed where it took him, but I'm going to let Julian take the subject onwards. Drafts, 43 seconds, starting now.
Nothing worse than sitting in drafts, is there? Gives you a stiff neck, and with a neck like mine, that can...
Oh, Paul.
Repetition of neck.
Yes. 38 seconds, please. Paul, time starts now.
They have no natural enemies because they're so tall they can see anything coming towards them. A lion, a war buffalo, a rhino. What's happened then? Have I exhausted you?
Just as funny second time round. It was deviation.
Yes, it was deviation. So we'll give you that as a correct challenge. 33 seconds on drafts.
Drafts! Oh, I feel a fool.
You've been had, Paul. You've got it now.
Yeah, I've got it now.
There's plenty of time. There's another 33 seconds. You'll be right. Julian, 33 seconds starts now.
Drafts is one of the few board games I'm particularly skilled at. I like it when you leapfrog over the others and you get to the other side. And I was the champion at school and I was the champion...
As I predicted, Paul, back with you.
Yes, challenge. It was two champions, certainly.
Indeed, yeah. So you've got 21 seconds, starting now.
As I walked round through the clearing, I felt a terrible draught behind me, and it was a giraffe that was licking my back. How long have you been standing there? You're the king of the jungle. He said, well, I don't have any enemies because I'm so tall up here, you see, and I can see buffalo, rhino...
Jennifer.
I've done it again, haven't I? I've done it again.
Challenge.
Deviation.
Well, he did
yet again with the giraffe.
Yeah, but he did mention draft.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We've have finally reined him in. But seeing as you've not played the game that much, and I did promise you a benefit of the doubt, I'm going to give you that one because there's 8 seconds to go, and Paul has played the game many times, and he'll be generous in this regard. So 8 seconds, everything you know about drafts, starting now.
I have a house that is full of drafts, from cracks in windows...
Oh, you want somebody to see about that. It must be a hell of a smell. Oh, sorry, drafts. I can't believe I almost got a laugh 4 times on that same joke. Five.
I enjoyed the challenge, but you've got 4 seconds remaining, Jennifer. Your time starts now.
My solution is a large, heavy curtain, or in fact, an excluder.
Jennifer, you were speaking as this went, means you get the point. You also get quicksand.
Ah.
Well, let's see how you fare on quicksand. You've got a minute, and your time starts now.
I'm feeling a little bit... Oh,
Julian.
Oh, what a shame. You'd only just got started. Hesitation.
Yes, it was.
Oh, it was a clumsy tongue.
Well, I don't know that we can adjudicate for clumsy tongue. Is that a medical definition?
It is, yes.
Oh, in that case, you must keep the
I'm
subject.
I'm seeing the doctor tomorrow.
I'm going to give Julian a point for a correct challenge, but I feel that perhaps we need to just give you a little bit more and let the clumsy tongue just work its way through. Correct challenge gets a point, but you keep the subject. Jennifer, 57 seconds starting now.
When we were filming Carry On Columbus on Canvas...
It's good to see my authority has been firmly stamped.
Don't worry, I'd rather you took up the seconds anyway.
No, I gave you the point and then I said you should carry on.
Oh, I drifted off by
then. Yeah, no, me too. So, the great news is we're only 9 seconds into the subject. Paul, you challenged.
Yes, I just wanted to point out that Jennifer's impression of Julian was so stunning and good. It might confuse listeners at home.
So, yes, Jennifer, 51 seconds on quicksand, starting now.
Feeling a bit like quicksand now, because quicksand is something that appears solid, smooth and strong, and yet underneath is like jelly and wobbling about. Quicksand is, in fact, saturated granules or particulates, tiny little bits of rock, which, when agitated, become a solid. Quicksand will not kill you, despite all the myths. I know this. I have Googled it because I live on Dartmoor, which is full of bogs and quagmires and mires in which you can sink. So I know that you will not expire. Oh, I know.
Paul. It was a repetition of I know.
I know.
It was, but you know, you went gangbusters there. You absolutely smashed that. I sat back and just learnt.
The difference between a quagmire and a mire as well.
No.
That's some top-level stuff.
And the fact that you can't die from it, despite what we've seen in Indiana Jones and the like. Well, it was a correct challenge, but I want you to know that there was only 15 seconds left, so you did brilliantly there. Paul, correct challenge. You get the topic. Quicksand, starting now.
There's a quicksand scene in Lawrence of Arabia, the very famous film made in the early 1960s. And Jennifer's quite right. Quicksand won't kill you. The thing is, you mustn't struggle against it. Slowly wade your way out. Put one foot in front of another, reach out with your arm, and certainly you'll find...
Well done, Paul. Speaking as the whistle went means he gets that valuable point. So at the end of that round, let's do a little bit of scoring. Let's have a look what we've got. Well, we've got Lucy narrowly in fourth place, Jennifer in third, Julian in second, and nudging just one point ahead, we've got Paul Merton. And Paul, we are back with you again. The subject being damp squib. That's squib. Squib.
I know what a squib is.
Yeah, I know you do. Can you tell us about a damp squib in 60 seconds, starting now?
Essentially, we've got eight tentacles, and basically all damp squibs are under the sea. That's why they're damp. You can't get an undamp squib.
Julian, I feel we've been here before.
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
I think I've pushed it as far as it will go, I think.
It was deviation, yes.
Yes, it was deviation. So you get the topic of a damp squib. 55 seconds, and your time starts now.
A damp quib is something that... Point.
Yeah. A damp quib.
I mean, I'm as confused as anybody.
Squib. Damp squib.
Squib.
So deviation
squib.
From the subject.
Oh, I'm just cutting down a bit on it.
Quib. If somebody goes damp whib for the next one, there's going to be murders. It's a correct challenge, Paul. It's a correct challenge. So I'm going to give you back damp squib, 52 seconds. And your time starts now.
A squib is a firework, and a damp squib is one that doesn't go off properly. And so this is why it's often used as an expression. If something doesn't turn out the way it should, it could be seen as a damp squib. If we were here doing an edition of Just a Minute and there were no laughs at all throughout the entire half an hour, that could justifiably be called a damp squib. But of course it is not a damp squib, because this show is well regarded by the people who come here tonight for free. Getting the warmth.
Julian.
Repetition of show.
There was a repetition.
Was there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Two shows. Ooh. A double show. Oh. Dissent from the crowd who no longer like this format. They said, we've had enough. We've had enough of the trifecta of hesitating, repeating, and deviating.
I think they were thrown by the fact that I was addressing the subject as written on the card.
You get the topic, Julian, and your time, 29 seconds remaining, starts now.
Life is full of damp squibs. When I walked into this studio earlier and looked at this tablecloth, there's a dirty mark at the front, which Jennifer will confirm. Yes. This is a damp squib, if ever there was. But I've got used to it. I don't expect a squib to ignite automatically, because life just isn't like that. I've repeated life, but there's no tissue.
Yes, Paul.
I wasn't sure whether he had repeated life, but he had, because he said he'd repeated life, and even if he hadn't, that would have been the third repetition. So repetition of life, sir.
Yes, it's correct challenge. And you've got 9 seconds on damp squib, starting now.
Guy Fawkes turned to his co-conspirators and said, if the Houses of Parliament don't blow up tonight, I shall be remembered throughout history by damp squibs not going off on...
Well done, Paul. You were speaking as the whistle went, so you get the point. And we're with you, Lucy. Now, a thing of the moment, this subject. Why I could win the traitors. You got 60 seconds on why I could win the traitors, Lucy, starting now.
I could win the traitors, the BBC television game show.
Oh. Paul.
Repetition of B.
Yes. Do you know, I've been caught this way before.
I know, it's one of the things that's often said. But you can't, what BBC, we've always had the challenge.
We've always had the challenge, I can't let it. And also, Lucy's a very experienced player, she'll bounce back. She'll be getting that off you sharpish. 56 seconds, Paul, correct challenge. Why I could win the traitors.
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
Time starts now.
I've never seen it.
Lucy, you challenge.
Never seen it.
I'm appalled that he's never seen it. Yeah. So I'm going to say deviation.
Also hesitation. Whatever you wanted there, really. So it's back with you, as predicted, 53 seconds. Tell us why you could win it, starting now.
On the British Broadcasting Corporation, there is a show called The Traitors, and I loved it. The first one had Wilf, who was evil incarnate but brilliant, and the lovely Welsh Amanda, who was the princess of all our hearts, cruelly betrayed. And then there was Maddie, who was chaotic, good, and should really have won. There was also so many wonderful people, and I would win it because I look good in a cloak and because I can lie. Because
Lucy, you've buzzed yourself by the looks of this.
See, that is classic traitor's gameplay.
Yeah.
I'm that good.
You've undermined yourself. Now, Julian, you seem to appear to think you might have buzzed there and had a technical malfunction. What's your challenge?
Jennifer can confirm.
Yes.
She saw my thumb move.
Yes. Go on, then. What was your challenge?
It was a repetition of because.
It's a correct challenge. I still think you'd win Traitors, though, by the way. Can I just say, spoiler alert, I haven't seen it. Now I know what happened. All right, correct challenge. 23 seconds on the clock for you, Julian, on why I could win the Traitors. And your time starts now.
I could win the Traitors because I'm a huge Claudia Winkleman fan and she would see to it. You have to lie, I believe.
She couldn't see to anything with her fringe.
I enjoyed that, and you're getting a fat point for that. Because it's possible lovely Claudia couldn't see through her fringe. But however, it wasn't a correct challenge. So you keep the subject, Julian. 16 seconds, please, on why I could win the Traitors, starting now.
Betraying people doesn't come easily to me, but I could do it if there was a prize at the end. Cash, preferably. And then you'd see the dark side of Julian Clary. Oh, my goodness me. I would turn on people in a flash.
Paul, you buzzed.
We have two people betraying people.
In the previous incarnation, yes, we did have people in the first time that you spoke before Jennifer's interruption, so it's a correct challenge. Irritatingly for you, Julian, because 1 second remaining. Yes, he's poached again. What can you tell us on the subject, Paul, starting now?
I won Anthony Blunt a raffle.
Jennifer, you are up next. What do we have for you? We've got Vidal Sassoon. Vidal Sassoon, wonderful. You've got 60 seconds on the wonder that is Vidal Sassoon, and your time starts now.
Vidal Sassoon, what a name to conjure with. He was one of the first celebrity hairstylists. He was, of course, a man brought up in the East End who pulled himself up by his bootstraps and became...
Julian.
Oh, hesitation.
Yes.
There was a bit of hesitation there. It's a correct challenge. I'd have liked... You might get it again. I'd like to hear
that.
It was very evocative, what was happening there. 44 seconds, Julian, you've got on Vidal Sassoon, starting now.
I had a consultation with Vidal Sassoon once in a private room behind a curtain. He came in and he said, I can see you with a short back and sides. Well, I didn't stay. I said, stuff your scissors up your jacksie. And that was the end of that. But Vidal Sassoon somehow rose above the whole situation and flourished, and celebrities flocked to his salon, despite a word in their ear from me. He was the man of the moment, and his hair is everywhere. Bobs, there's a woman in the front row inspired by Vidal Sassoon some time ago.
It's a deviation to say his hair is everywhere.
His work, you know, his hair.
Yeah. Oh, his style. Yeah. I see, right.
Yeah, I
was imagining expanding follicles over across London.
I don't think he'd mastered that, although he did a great brute lift in his time.
But I
saw what Julian was getting at. So, Julian, you keep the subject. Incorrect challenge from Paul. 8 seconds remaining and your time starts now.
I bumped into Vidal Sassoon at a showbiz party a decade after the incident mentioned earlier, and we made it up. I'm not one to...
Julian was speaking as the whistle went, means he gets the point. And you also start our next subject, a baker's dozen. Julian, that's your subject. A baker's dozen. Could you tell us something about a baker's dozen without hesitating, repeating or deviating? And your time starts now.
When I was a trainee chef, I was a self-raising man. I was asked for a dozen buns. I counted out 12. No, said my boss. There should be 13. Well, how was I to know? Apparently, it dates back to medieval times when there was a lot of jiggery-pokery, is a word that I'm going to use on this occasion, because people were fiddling the amount of bread that they were serving. It was all to do with the weight, and there was a fine imposed. Well, you didn't want that. So it became the custom for baker's dozen to mean 13. They could...
Lucy.
Oh, unlucky 13.
Yes. 13. Repetition of 13, sadly. But correct challenge, Lucy, you get the point and the subject with 25 seconds remaining. Tell us everything you know about a baker's dozen in that time, starting now.
A baker's dozen does indeed mean 13, which I always presumed was because bakers put one extra in the oven in case of mishap. For me, I would have to put at least 5 different cakes or confections.
Paul, you've challenged?
Well, it's a bit harsh, but it were 2 puts.
Oh, it is harsh. It is harsh. I think I was really rigid.
Somebody's left a gas on in the front row there. maybe too small. Maybe.
I think you were right with the BBC. I might just give Lucy the benefit of the doubt. Everyone gets one benefit of the doubt, if should they wish for it, each show. And this is Lucy. So
can I defer mine till I get a subject to know something about?
Fair enough. Paul, it's...
Okay.
And your time starts now.
In the Sherlock Holmes stories, you have the Baker Street irregulars, and there was 13 of them. They would come round and say to the great detective, "We have been all over London searching for Moriarty, and we believe the arch criminal to be somewhere in the vicinity of..."
Wonderful. End of the round and scores tied in joint third position. We've got Lucy and Jennifer. Julian, somewhere ahead in second. And narrowly, just 1 point ahead of him, we've got Mr. Paul Merton. Wonderful. Right, Jennifer, one for you now. Oh. A bird in the hand.
Ah.
60 seconds, please. Your finest 60 seconds starting now.
Well, a bird in the hand is, of course, a proverbial saying, the longer version of which is a bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush, madam. Of course, many proverbs involve avian...
I saw what you were doing. It's hard, isn't it? That was a great start. Julian, your challenge, please.
I feel for you. Hesitation.
Yeah. Hesitation around avian. 44 seconds, Julian. You get the subject. A bird in the hand. Time starts now.
When I was a youth, the lads would say, "Have you had a bird in the hand?" And I didn't understand.
What on earth was that?
That was how the Teddington Massive used to speak.
Oh, you like Bird in the Hand. That's Teddington, is it?
I mean, I sort of feel that was an intervention that needs to be made at that juncture. What was your challenge?
I don't know. It's not deviation, really, because they might well speak like that in Teddington. I've never been there. But I withdraw my challenge.
Well, that means, technically, that we're back in Teddington.
Yes.
We're back with the youths. And I can't wait to see where this one goes. 39 seconds, Julian. Time starts now.
Well, if I may explain and demystify it for members of the panel who seem to object to a bird in the end, it is a euphemism for a stage...
How old are these youths? That last one was at least 70. A bird in the end.
Well, that's how he spoke. I think it was due to sniffing glue or something.
During the war.
Well, I mean, it's an incorrect challenge, Paul. I mean,
No, it's true. No, that's how they
speak. It's good to break the tension, though, and thank you for that. 30 seconds. Back we go. And I hope a little bit more accent work. I'm looking forward to it. 30 seconds starting now.
I said, "How dare you? I've never been tempted to put a bird in my hand." "Oh, you want to try it?"
He hasn't got any teeth. This boy clearly has no teeth.
I mean, it is a worry, isn't it?
It is a worry.
He's still going a bit like that now, isn't it?
Well, what's your challenge?
It's the same as the one before, really. Inaccurate representation of your boyhood friends.
Listen, it's not for us to know who his boyhood friends were.
No, it could be, yeah.
I mean, I would, however, say you're right in the sense that the boyhood friend gets older by at least 30 years every time we come back to him. But wait to see where he goes now. It's an incorrect challenge. Julian keeps the subject. 21 seconds starting now.
I became a renowned homosexual, and birds in the hand is not what I was fiddling with, if you get my meaning. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Well, I don't agree. I think it's probably worth less than that, because a bird... Oh, I was just going into one then.
Was it repetition of worth?
It was a repetition of worth, yes. Mm. And you get the subject of a bird in the hand, which I almost said as a bird in the hand. can't think of it in any other way now. You've got 5 seconds on that starting now.
Bird in the hand, as they say round my parts, is...
If you're listening from Teddington, I can only apologise.
They know who they are.
Julian, we're with you now. You were, of course, slightly trumped at that last hurdle. Jennifer spoke as the whistle went and got the point. But you do have this, our final subject of tonight's show. Key cutting.
Yeah.
All I can say is this is the 91st series. And honestly, slightly running aground in terms of subject. We've just gone for key cutting. I can't wait. Was it big in Teddington? We'll find out. Can you speak on key cutting for 60 seconds? You can. You're an absolute legend. Your time starts now.
There's a lovely little shop round the corner from me called Ron's Keys, and you go in there, dangle them in front of him and say, oh, I'd like 3 copies, please, if you don't mind, governor. And he will scurry around in his brown overalls, and within, you know, 10, 15 minutes, there they are, gleaming in your hand, and it's fairly delightful key cutting, and he seems very happy in his work. And if it were that I were to retire from this business called Show and seek new employment, I think I would open a rival store across the road from him. And I would like to experience the job satisfaction that he clearly displays. Key cutting is little underrated. You may go home tonight and think, well, that's opened my eyes. I've seen it differently, and you would be right to, because it's these little things. Where would we be without the means to open our...
I mean, I did say if you could speak for 60 seconds on key cutting, then you were marvellous. So you spoke as the whistle went. You spoke for a minute, so you get the extra point for that. But seeing as I teed it up as it would be a magnificent achievement, I'm going to give you an extra point on top of that, which changes things up immeasurably. It was a sensational flourish to what has been a very enjoyable show. Points narrowly in fourth place, we have Lucy, Jennifer in third, and in joint first position, today's winners, Paul and Julian! And then, my lovelies, I'm afraid we have to leave you. But first of all, thanks to our wonderful players of tonight's game, Julian Clary, Jennifer Saunders, Lucy Porter and Paul Merton. We are, of course, indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised the show, and, of course, to our beloved Nicholas Parsons, who chaired Just a Minute for over 50 magnificent years. We also thank Caroline Barlow for blowing her whistle so delicately. The producer was Rajiv Karia, and this was a BBC Studios production. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks so much for listening. And please do join us again when we next play Just a Minute.
It's good to have them back. Tomorrow evening's 6:30 comedy has the comedian Chris McCausland, who's been blind since his 20s, setting a series of audio challenges to a panel of fellow comics, including Guess the Chocolate Bar from the Sound of It Being Eaten and What on Earth is Being Advertised on TV. You Heard It Here First is at this time tomorrow. After the news, it's all hands to the pump at Bridge Farm while George is put on the spot in the Archers. Now, later this week, we focus on some epic fails.
On Radio 4's Sliced Bread with me, Greg Foote, I investigate the latest consumer trends and wonder products promising to make us happier, healthier and greener.
But what happens when a much-hyped product launch fails and the whole thing burns up?
When the best thing since sliced bread becomes toast.
That's where I come in. I'm Sean Farrington, and in my new series Toast, I'll tell the stories of five doomed wonder products, from the Sinclair C5 to Google Glass, and explore why these ideas failed so spectacularly and what we've learned from them. Toast begins this Thursday lunchtime at 12:30.